God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Greetings, friends. This is Pastor Larry. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 tells us the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Have you noticed how negative the news is about the coronavirus? The New York Times has a piece with the headlines, quote, "Chinese agents spread messages that sowed panic in U.S., officials say." This has spurred agencies to look at new ways in which China, Russia, and other nations are using a range of platforms to spread disinformation during the pandemic. This means that liars want you to believe their lies so they can control and manipulate you. China, Russia, and other nations are using a range of platforms. The disinformation showed up as text on many American cell phones. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." There are a variety of snooping devices and surveillance techniques that are available today, but no device is as accurate or as complete as divine surveillance. God is watching. You better walk with Him. Our guest for this program and the next is Bill Federer. Bill is one of our speakers this September in Columbus, Ohio. I believe that after you hear this interview, you will want to make sure that you attend our conference in Columbus. The dates are September the 24th through the 26th. On this program and the next, we will be talking with Bill about COVID-19. We are in particular concerned that the quarantine enforcement measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19 have motivated some state and local officials to impose restrictions that trample religious liberties. And there are lots of issues that are hanging. Restrictions on a number of activities and restrictions even on ordinary items that have no connection with COVID-19 have correctly raised the eyebrows of many people. And Bill is certainly a knowledgeable man in the Constitution or godly heritage and all kinds of good things, Islam and the threats to America, and Bill is with us today. Bill, thank you so much for being our resource person, and we praise God that you have recovered from the coronavirus. You had quite a bout with it.
Yes, Larry, great to be with you. I spoke in Albany, New York, and came back and got a call from the pastor saying, the person at the book table you spent a lot of time talking to has the virus, and like the next day I came down with a fever. But anyway, I'm all better now, thank God. But we do see some trends in history, and I thought that it might help us understand what's going on right now.
Well, yes, there's a lot going on. In fact, I'm reading some of the things here. I was amazed, for example, at the Benhams. I think it was David Benham in North Carolina where he was arrested. And you probably seen that. Somebody took it on a cell phone. But David did a wonderful job of speaking about the Constitution. He was not sarcastic to the police officer. And the police officer seemed to be completely in the dark about the Constitution and about, you know, what's the big deal here? You know, the abortion clinic was open. They were murdering babies. But the Benhams were out there trying to counsel women. And I think that's just one of the many things that we're seeing today that causes a great deal of alarm.
Well, the Benham brothers are great. One time flying to an event, I spent 2 hours on airplane with them. We were in the seats right next to each other, and I went through all my constitutional stories. And they're just tremendous, and their dad as well, Cliff Benham.
I know they were going to be on HGTV, I think, and somebody found out that they believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Duh. And they were dropped, I think. They're real champions for truth.
They are. And I think that's the period of history that we're entering into, is God is calling men and women to stand up. And the different forces that are using this coronavirus epidemic as an excuse to trample on the rights of churches. And so many churches are like, well, okay, we got to do what they say. And other ones are saying, wait a second. Here they had the Easter candy roped off in a Target in California, but they had the liquor section open. They called churches unessential and closed them down, but they keep the marijuana shops open. The same thing with keeping the abortion clinics open. And it's like somebody is making decisions, and it's not based on any type of reasoning. It's based on an agenda. And when you look back through history, you see that it's always in times of crises that those that want to seize power use the crises as an opportunity to do just that. There's a quote from economist Milton Friedman. He said, "Concentrated power is not rendered harmless by the good intentions of those who create it." And of course, the biblical example is Joseph in Egypt, godly, godly man, and he's helping to concentrate power into the hands of Pharaoh. And what did Pharaoh do with that concentrated power? He took care of the children of Israel, gave them the best land of Goshen, gave them food, gave them jobs, taking care of his cattle. But then there was a new Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, and he used all that concentrated power to oppress the children of Israel and make them throw their babies in the Nile River. And so we see that just because you have one administration saying, well, we got to concentrate power so that we can do this good, it gets turned over at some point to someone with the other party and another agenda, and they use that concentrated power for wrong purposes. I use the example of William Howard Taft. He was a president. Then he became Chief Justice of the United States. He's a Republican. He streamlines the court system. He's the first justice to hire a clerk. And back then, you had the appeals courts and circuit courts, and they all made decisions, and they were somewhat independent. Well, Taft decided to make it so that when the Supreme Court says something, boom, all the other courts have to do it. And people say, well, he's a Republican. He's, you know, it's going to be more efficient. Yes, but then FDR gets in office, and he packs the court with all these Democrats, and they use that concentrated Supreme Court power to do what? To push abortion and the gay marriage and all these other issues. So we see the dangers that the Founding Fathers realize is that Nimrod wanted to concentrate power and oppress the people. Josephus, the historian, said that anyone that didn't bake bricks and bring him, he'd have them killed. And Josephus goes on to say that Nimrod wanted to build a tower so high that if God destroyed the world again with a flood, he could survive on top. So concentrated power. God comes down, confuses the languages, and the people scatter and separated power. But it's almost like every generation since has tried to rebuild the Tower of Babel. You know, you have Alexander the Great, and Attila the Hun, and Genghis Khan, and these kingdoms keep getting bigger. Every time they come around, they're a little bit bigger. Why? Because with military advancements, you can kill more people. Instead of killing with a rock, you kill with a bronze weapon or an iron weapon or a phalanx spear or a composite bow and arrow or gunpowder. The weapon changes, but it's that same fallen nature of Cain, Kill, and Abel. But when you trace it out, it does have a global goal in mind. There's something called the Fibonacci sequence or the golden ratio or phi, P-H-I, and it's a rate of geometric expansion. And if you've seen a seashell that does the little circle, then it comes around with a bigger circle and a bigger, bigger circle. You see it in tornadoes or hurricanes or even galaxies. And this rate of expansion can also be applied to investments and spread of viruses, but also chronologically. And so I decided to look at all these empires in history and see, sure enough, they follow this track record. They go from that Nimrod Tower of Babel and then Sargon of Akkadian and the Egyptian pharaohs and the king of Assyria, king of Babylon, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Attila the Hun. And you can track it. Each time it circles back around, it gets a little bit bigger. And if it wasn't for these guys dying off, one of them would have had the whole world under their thumb by now. But they do have this global goal in mind. And that's where it's headed. And with, an Antichrist. And, Augustus Caesar wanted to have a worldwide tracking system. It was called the census, right? And he made everybody, get counted. Why? Because he wanted to see who was under his thumb. Dictators want to track everyone. And so you see that in China, the social credit system and the millions of cameras, and now they have drones that are following people down the street if they're not, staying quarantined and so forth. There's something about a top-down governments that want to control everyone's lives. Ancient Israel, when they came out of Egypt, those first 400 years, they flipped it. And for 400 years, Israel did not have a king. it was the first instance in world history of a nation with millions of people and no king. And it worked because every citizen was taught the law by the Levite priests, and each person was individually accountable to God to follow the law. And it worked for 400 years until what? Until the priests stopped teaching the law. And Eli, the high priest, his own sons are sleeping with the women in the very tent where the Ark of the Covenant was. And even Samuel's sons end up being no good. And so all the people go to Samuel the prophet, and they say, look, this self-government system's not working. We want to be like all the other countries. We want a king. And the power zips, concentrates back into the power of Saul, and he turns around and kills most of the priests. And so we see this this change that happens. America is an experiment where our New England colonial pastors look back to ancient Israel as a model. They set up an assembly, a congregational form of church government, and a congregational form of community government, which turned into the Constitution, we the people. And so the word citizen means co-king. We're citizens of America. Everyone in the listening audience is a co-king of America. It's a great privilege, but it's a great responsibility, because if things go wrong, God's going to hold each of us accountable.
Well, I've often thought, as I've followed what's happening in our country and world, that our greatest danger is the loss of our country. I mean, we hear how bad the disease is, and of course you know it is, and I know some other people. It's a horrible disease, and yet what happens if we lose our constitutional liberties, our freedoms, what's made America so special? And I believe, and you believe in American exceptionalism, if we lose that, that's the real disease that we should be concerned with.
It definitely is. There's a meme, a picture with words on it that's going around the internet, where it's the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and George Washington says, so none of this matters if the people get sick. And actually, they did get sick back then. They had smallpox epidemics and so forth, but they didn't throw away the Constitution because of that. And, you know, there's something in history, I don't know how much time we have before, Machiavelli and Hegel, they were philosophers that talked about creating and capitalizing on crisis to consolidate control. So 500 years ago, Machiavelli was in Italy, and Italy was a bunch of city-states that always fought. And so Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all the city-states, it would stop the infighting. So he writes a book called The Prince, where he advocates the ends justifies the means. The end of one prince controlling all of Italy is such a good end, because it'll stop the infighting, that any means necessary to get there is okay. Lie, cheat, steal. So if a prince wants to conquer a city, the people would hate him. But if he pays criminals to kill cows and burn barns and create crisis, the people will cry out for help. The prince will come in and kill the very criminals he bribed to create the disturbance. Nobody will know the better for it, and everyone will praise the prince as a hero. So it's good marketing. You create the need, and then you fill it. You go around the back of the house and set it on fire, then you come around the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher. And they'll pay anything for it, and even thank you for being there. So it's called Machiavellianism, where you create or capitalize on crises to consolidate control. Sort of like Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so some think, well, gee, you create a virus and then you come along with a vaccine. Hey, we just happen to have all these vaccine companies that can make. But to get the vaccine, you need to take the mark of the beast, you know. But anyway, so Machiavelli inspired Hegel. And he was in Germany. And when Napoleon swept through, the king of Prussia said, we can't let that happen again. We need to strengthen the state. And so Hegel said, okay, the state is God walking on earth. And Hegel took Machiavelli and made it into an equation, a triangle. One corner is a thesis. The opposite corner is an antithesis, antithesis. The top corner is a synthesis. It sounds complicated, but it's not. So in other words, you start off, then you create a problem that's real bad. And then everybody's happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. And then that becomes the new starting point. Thesis, you create another problem that's real bad, and everybody's happy to settle for the answer that's half as bad. And you keep doing this over and over till you move from the people ruling themselves to a dictator. Now, Hegel inspired Karl Marx and Alinsky, and I don't know if I got time to cover those, or maybe in the next interview.
Yeah, well, certainly do want to point out, Bill, that when people are afraid, you know, and all the hype, I think there's been so much hype. When people are afraid, they will do just about anything to save their skin. So like you're pointing out, this whole idea of a crisis, you know, oh, we may die. And of course, that could happen. But when there's that fear, there's a lack of reason. People, you know, behave on impulse. It's kind of like touching a hot stove and you automatically back away. And that's a dangerous situation.
Well, it is. And it's important for us to, the Bible talks about not being in fear and walking in faith and trusting the people. Sweden, their response to the coronavirus is everybody be responsible. Keep your own distance, wear your own mask, you know, if you're, you know, ill, stay quarantined, you know, stay away from older people. And they have not instituted all these draconian top-down things that shut the country down. You know, Frederick Engels and Karl Marx wrote that to institute communism and socialism, they needed to wipe out the middle class because they're the ones that could challenge. And so Engels said every crisis must be worse than the one before and must destroy more small capitalists and put them out of business. This will increase the number of unemployed that'll be dependent upon the state, and it'll create a revolution far beyond what anyone can imagine. Could you imagine Karl Marx and Frederick Engels saying we have to create crises that'll put small businessmen out of work?
Well, Bill, we are just about out of time. We're going to have you back on our next program. Thank you so much for being with us on the show, and I'm glad you're all recovered.
Well, thank you.
Our announcer, Matthew, will come and tell you what we have to offer our listeners.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the book, Who is the King in America? Have you ever wondered what is the most popular form of government? Since around 3000 BC, the world has been mostly ruled by kings. You can have a copy of this extraordinary DVD for a gift of $20 in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. The operators will be happy to help you. If you'd rather write and place your order, just send that letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this book and any of our materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have the book with the same title, Who is the King in America? The book is for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both the DVD and the book for a gift of $35. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
The toilet paper shortage was most obvious in some of the really large supermarkets. To see shelves that are normally stacked to the ceiling with toilet paper now completely empty left some shoppers in a state of deep trepidation. Was this an omen of the end of our nation? A harbinger of apocalyptic doom?
Though it may be humorous in the telling, the actual event could have been tragic, said one observer. In fact, toilet paper shortages due to the coronavirus fears have driven Redding, California residents to a substandard alternative.
Well, according to city officials, residents of the city caused a sewage backup by using scraps of T-shirts as toilet paper substitutes and flushing them down the toilet. The city contracted with COR Wastewater Management to clear the blockage on March the 18th. If you're using anything other than toilet paper, bag it, an official said on the city's Twitter channel. Don't flush it.
And things turned ugly on a recent Friday afternoon in western Iowa, where a man was waiting in line to buy toilet paper at a local Dollar General store when another customer started giving the man grief about it. At issue was the amount of toilet paper being purchased. After feeling threatened by the customer's aggressive behavior, the toilet paper buyer displayed a gun in self-defense. It escalated almost to the point of a physical confrontation, Police Lieutenant Devin Hogue told USA Today.
In the end, neither person was injured, but the initial aggressor was charged with disorderly conduct, adding to the recent police blotter entries over toilet paper violence. In Florida last month, sheriff's deputies arrested a man for allegedly stealing, listen to this, 66 toilet paper rolls from a Marriott hotel. In California, Beverly Hills cops found 192 rolls of toilet paper in a stolen SUV. So, Marvin, why can't we find toilet paper?
That's a good question, Pastor Leary. The experts are reporting that the problem is not just hoarding and not because people are going to the bathroom more than normal. It's because so many consumers are going to the bathroom in different locations from before the pandemic, at home instead of workplaces, which often use a different kind of toilet paper than the ones they used at home. One kind of bath tissue, for the commercial market, is often made of one ply of recycled fiber and generally is found on rollers at businesses and public places. The other kind, retail toilet paper, is often made of two-ply virgin fiber and is generally much softer for use at home. The location shift prompted by shelter-at-home rules has led to an estimated 40% increase over the average daily home usage, according to Georgia Pacific, which makes quilted northern toilet paper and other paper products.
If you ask someone, what does the current COVID-19 crisis remind you of, many would say, this is far different than anything I've ever witnessed. It is very different.
My dad used to tell me, people don't realize how bad it can get, and it can get real bad really quickly. So people are in a daze. They're surprised how widespread the damage is and how quickly it came upon the whole world. Even modern medicine has not been completely successful in stopping it.
You know, Marvin, we've all grown to have a certain sense of invincibility. We think we can conquer anything. We have heard of open-heart surgery, miracle drugs, brain surgery, all indeed most amazing. And yet COVID-19 seems to have thus far eluded the reach of modern science.
Pastor Larry, if millions of people are out of work, how are they going to pay their bills? All the thoughts of taking a trip to some distant mountain or some beach for summer vacation, it's all gone now. Thousands of Christian families will be re-examining their commitments on different levels. Some ministries are in dire straits as discretionary money has just not materialized. Discretionary money will be in very short supply.
Well, Marvin, recovery involves our businesses, of course, but in terms of the Lord's work and mission, it involves churches, our educational enterprises, our missions and benevolences, and hundreds of other fronts that we are involved in. God have mercy upon us.
Amen, Pastor Larry. There is a good side to all of this, though. Perhaps the fact that other countries are tired of China hiding outbreaks and stealing intellectual property might help the Chinese people secure for themselves a more democratic government.
Well, yeah, and maybe we can learn the lesson of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall."
A Denver, Colorado individual whose earlier claims against Masterpiece cake shop baker Jack Phillips that he refused to make a gender celebration change cake were dismissed, and he is now bringing yet a third legal action against a Christian businessman.
The first was brought by Charlie Craig and David Mullins, who complained that Phillips wouldn't create a same-sex wedding cake for them. They, with the help of a biased Colorado Civil Rights Commission, sued him, and that fight went all the way up to the Supreme Court. The justices there, in a resounding 7-2 ruling, scolded the state for its obvious hostility to Christianity and cleared Phillips of a responsibility to create cakes carrying messages with which he disagreed. A second case was brought by transgender Autumn Scardina, alleging that Phillips would not honor a gender transition celebration, but that was also dismissed. Now a third case is pending, brought on behalf of Scardina by Paula Gryson and John McHugh. They allege that Phillips discriminated against Scardina and used deceptive and unfair trade practices. This is another desperate attempt to harass cake artist Jack Phillips. It stumbles over one detail that matters most. Jack Phillips serves everyone. He just cannot express all messages through his custom cakes.
This latest lawsuit against Jack Phillips has been filed by a guy who has harassed Phillips and the workers at Masterpiece Cake Shop for months. He has requested Phillips bake a cake with a picture of Satan performing an unmentionable sex act. Of course, Phillips said no. This discrimination suit is utterly baseless, Rush Limbaugh stated. Any person with two functioning brain cells can see that.
Pastor Larry, it seems really strange how people keep coming to Masterpiece Cake Shop and ask Phillips to do what they already know he won't do. One Twitter user said, "It's almost like these people are targeting Phillips for his religious beliefs. But that can't be right, can it? Because I've been told for years that LGBTQ people are firm believers in the saying, live and let live. How is it that LGBT groups who have been harassed and experienced persecution are now the ones who are harassing and persecuting Jack Phillips?"
Well, you know, Marvin, J.D. Greer, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, warned pastors and churches to avoid being a stooge for any political party. He said, "In our political climate, we know that if we are known as the stooge for one party, we just will lose all audience with the other." But you know, Marvin, shouldn't we be taking sides and standing with Jack Phillips? Can we be neutral when injustice is being performed right under our noses? The United States Supreme Court has already scolded the state of Colorado for its hostility against Christianity. Can we not take sides and defend the innocent?
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the book, Who is the King in America? Have you ever wondered what is the most popular form of government? Since around 3000 BC, the world has been mostly ruled by kings. You can have a copy of this extraordinary DVD for a gift of $20 in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. The operators will be happy to help you. If you'd rather write and place your order, just send that letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this book and any of our materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have the book with the same title, Who is the King in America? The book is for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both the DVD and the book for a gift of $35. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Bill Federer continue this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.